And we are back on Out in the Vineyard Radio. And as I said, we are going to be chatting with Greg Morelia, who is the author of Coming Out from Behind the Badge. Good evening, Greg.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. It's great to be with you.
Oh, I so appreciate you. Now you're on the other end of things. I know you have to. You will get into a little bit about your work in radio as well.
Yeah, to be on this end.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it? In fact, tomorrow morning, I'm being interviewed on the morning show here in Sonoma, and I was like, oh, it'll be a nice change of pace.
Yeah, someone else gets to do all the work.
Exactly. No doubt about it. No one knows how much work goes into doing a show every week.
Yeah.
But anyhow, again, thanks for being on the show. And just to let our listeners know, Greg is varied career. I've been reading up, Greg, your biography. You also, besides from being a author, and we'll get into that in just a little bit, you also teach a variety of law enforcement courses, including all human relations, workplace harassment, community policing, and one of the only state-certified hate crimes investigation courses in the state of California. Also, about 5-6 years ago, Greg authored the curriculum for an accredited LGBT studies program that's now offered by Napa Valley College. Thank you so much for making that happen, Greg, and we'll talk about that. And he's a nationally recognized speaker and expert on LGBT issues in the law enforcement profession. Have I said enough?
Yeah, more than enough.
Oh, and there's more. He speaks about hate crime prevention throughout the country. And also, as I said, Greg is also a radio program host and producer of Outbeat Radio, which is a weekly LGBT program on KRCB Radio in Santa Rosa, right?
That's right.
Excellent. So, Greg, let's go back to the beginning of your career. You were a police enforcement?
Yeah, I got into law enforcement as a cadet when I was 15 years old, just my freshman year of high school,
mm-hmm.
which was in 1978, a pretty big year for us of celebration and also sadness. That was the year Harvey Milk was elected to office and also the year that he was murdered.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it was a very different time than it is today, that's for sure.
Oh, he had no doubt about that. So, and going into law enforcement at that time, what was that like being a gay man? What was the environment like at that time?
Well, you know, night and day from what it is today. I learned the first hour of the first day that I was in the police building that you could not be out and you could not be gay at all. I mean, the word, you know, don't be a queer or don't be a fag, all of those things were just kind of part of the vocabulary,
mm-hmm.
Amongst my peers in the cadet program and really by the officers. At the time, it was perfectly legal to not hire someone because they were gay.
Right.
And, you know, I knew several years before in junior high school who I was, but I wanted to get into law enforcement, and I said, boy, I better keep this a secret. I better not say or give any clues to who I am.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how was that for you? I mean, you had this passion, a career passion that you wanted to follow, and no, yet you couldn't be, you knew doing this that you couldn't be exactly who you were.
Right. And it was a very, very much a conscious decision. For me, it was very much about doing everything I could do to get into the profession. And so it was a conscious decision that I made that, you know, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the circumstances that being gay was not a really accepted thing, really pretty much in anywhere in the society outside of San Francisco.
Right. And where was this, Greg?
So this was in Walnut Creek.
In Walnut Creek. So you were in the Bay Area.
Yep.
Even at that day, considered somewhat progressive, but
and we had, you know, Walnut Creek at the time had 3 gay bars in it.
Oh, really?
Later on in my career, the largest gay bar in the West Coast, JR's, was in Walnut Creek.
Oh, really? I've heard of that bar. I've heard of it.
Well, now, but it was the largest gay bar in the West Coast.
Oh, how funny! And so, at what point? So here you were. You're in the police force. What year did you come out, and how'd that all come about, and what was the response from everybody?
Well, the short version of it is that it was Matthew Shepard's story that really inspired me to finally come out.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to meet Matt's mom, Judy Shepard, in 2000 and brought her to Napa Valley College to do a presentation to the whole community. And I wasn't out at the time, but mm-hmm. I heard her say over and over again that the way that we're going to change hearts and minds is for people to come out and share their story.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we were doing a lot of education in the police academy around hate crimes and inclusion. I don't like to use the word tolerance because I hope we do more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, the only way that this is really going to be effective is if I quit hiding who I am. And also, it was about finding happiness for myself, too.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. 1978, now speed ahead to 2004. A lot had changed. And so it just sort of happened.
So this was 2004 when you came out finally in the force at that time. So yeah, here you were in the force for many, many years.
A long time. And, you know, it wasn't that I wasn't dating people. I was, but I had to keep that part of my life very, very separate from my work life. So you don't, you know, how close can you get to someone when you don't tell them your real name, what you do for a living, and where you live?
Right, exactly. And also, what about, you know, again, like you said, going back to the late 70s, 80s, even 90s, even going through the AIDS crisis,
that's
right?
Right. Well,
being in the closet, and yet hearing everybody talk around you, the jokes,
I remember it distinctly. I mean, the AIDS virus was discovered, became a reality the year I graduated high school.
Right.
And I remember in the police department training coming out, telling officers to wear gloves and wear masks anytime you contact someone you think is gay because you might catch it.
Right.
And, you know, the stigma associated with that early on. But it was a scary time. It was a very scary time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, it was. And so then, when in 2004, in coming out, how were you accepted then?
Well, I'll tell you, I really underestimated my colleagues and my family and my friends. Everybody was very, very supportive.
Oh, that's great.
You know, some had wondered. There were rumors that had gone around. I mean, I was 41 at the time, had never really dated any woman seriously, and so
people were talking.
Wonder, right? Yeah, exactly. And so. But people were great. They were very, very supportive, at least to my face.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know what was said behind my back, but
right.
All my close friends and my family were amazing. And,
right.
And so it went very well for me.
Well, that's great to hear. So here are 2004. How did writing come about and the concept for your book coming out from behind the badge?
Well, also in 2004, I met my now husband, Tony.
Who's wonderful,
and
I might add.
He is the love of my life. And you know, as he learned my story, he told me, he says, you know, you need to write this down. You should share your story with other officers out there. And so I started doing some research, and the only book that I found about coming out in law enforcement or being gay in law enforcement had been published in 1995, and it was full of very negative experiences. And I thought, you know, I would have loved to have been able to read stories from officers who were successful in coming out and being successful on the job, and there had to be more than just me.
Right.
And so I started a little fishing expedition out there to try to collect stories,
mm-hmm.
and lo and behold, some people came forward and said, yeah, I'm out, and I've had a successful career, and so the idea came about to put together a book to inspire others to come out and to offer them advice about how to do it with ways that it were successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that book was published in, what, was that 2005?
2007.
2007.
That one finally came out. And then we did a second book in 2011. And then this latest one that I'm really proud of is a second edition of the first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we decided to do a second edition as opposed to just a third book because I didn't want the stories from the first one to be lost.
Right.
But they needed to be updated,
mm-hmm.
and we needed to provide more information for law enforcement to help them understand LGBT people.
Right, and especially because, so, like you said, so much has changed, especially between 2004, 2007, 2011, and where we are in 2016, just with marriage equality, the vernacular's changing, with, you know, the religious referendum acts that they're trying to pass in so many different states, and, you know, discrimination on that level, that there's, it's great, I think, it's necessary to update the stories.
Yep.
And see where we are now.
Yeah, and law enforcement is starting to become interested, in my opinion, about, okay, trying to understand, better understand the LGBT community. You know, I still agree with the UCLA study that was published just this last year that homophobia is still pervasive within the profession.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true in every law enforcement agency. It's not true in every agency here in Sonoma County, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But in many places, it is. And
well, it's sort of a conservative profession.
It is a very conservative profession. And it is largely influenced in many ways by different religions.
Right.
I know in my own experience working in my departments, I had some leadership. I had a chief, for example, that was a very conservative Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, sometimes those personal values spill over into judgments and decisions on the job. And it reflects in the way that people are treated.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it does.
So, you know, but things are beginning to change. There's more interest in doing training in the academy level for new recruits on how to understand and better serve LGBT people, and that's beginning to spread. And so hopefully
I can't believe that that's just starting. I think that would have happened at least almost 5 years ago, if not 10 years ago almost.
You know, progressive agencies like San Francisco have been doing it for years.
Right.
And I'll give credit to Oakland PD.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've taken a lot of criticism here in the last decade.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're working it, and they have included a 4-hour training block just on LGBT issues in their academy now.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
But they are the minority. They're in the minority in the state.
Mm-hmm.
LA Sheriff's Office, of course, has been a leader in this area for a long time. But the lion and share of academies don't do much.
Right. Wow, that's amazing that they don't. So hopefully the thing is with you writing your book, getting the word out there little by little, hopefully things like that will change and the word will spread. And in going back to the book again for a second, is there someone's story that stands out to you out of different people that you interview, that you write about, that really sort of stands out to you, that you wanted to really follow up with and see where they are now and how they're doing?
Well, the great thing is that I stay in touch with most of the writers.
Mm-hmm.
In several cases, we've become really good friends. There are a couple of stories in this current edition that I think are extraordinary. One from an officer from Irvine Police Department who's had an amazing career with LA Police Department and now Irvine. He was married to a woman and had two kids and now has a husband, and they're raising their two kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's just amazing. He's actually going to be coming up for an event we're going to be doing in Sonoma County here in March. People get a chance to meet him. But the other story that I think is extraordinary is a more local one, and that's a student of mine who came out in the third week of the police academy.
Mm-hmm.
He had never told anybody he was gay.
Right.
And he didn't think that there were any gay officers in law enforcement locally.
Right.
And he happened to have me as one of his teachers, and so his whole life changed. He became the first out gay deputy in Solano County's history.
Oh, that's great.
And he's very successful in the job. He just got married this last September. I got to officiate his wedding.
Oh, I love it.
He's really a role model now, and he wrote a letter to LGBT youth that's in the book.
Oh, I love it.
So it's great. A young person maybe who is aspiring to get into law enforcement might pick that book up and read it and be inspired and say, yes, I can be myself and be out and do something of service in the community.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. That's what I always say the number one responsibility I feel with even doing this Out in the Vineyards radio show is that hopefully that if it's one person who's listening who thinks they're alone, that all of a sudden can listen to a show like this here in our little town of Sonoma.
That's right.
And realize, oh my God, I'm not alone. There are other gay people out there, and there are stories out there, and that hopefully that gives them some comfort or the opportunity to come out just like you did for this young man.
Exactly. So, you know, the content is there. Hopefully departments that have been looking for a way to educate and to train and to share information about the LGBT community will now have the resources to do it. They don't have to create it.
Right. That's great. And so, switching gears for a moment, so tell me about at Napa Valley College, you developed the curriculum about, what, 5-6 years ago or so for an LGBT class. What, how'd that come about, and what is the curriculum all about?
Well, you remember the media storm over all of the suicides from LGBT youth all of a sudden being publicized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I both know there wasn't this sudden surge of them. They had been happening all along.
Yes.
Media started to report them. And so our teachers, our faculty, started having conversation about, you know, what are we doing to support LGBT students? They were not very visible on campus, but obviously they were there. And so it was almost the perfect storm. And I said, well, you know, one of the things we can do is we could form a studies program like we have for Latino studies and women's studies and African-American studies. We could create an LGBT studies program. And there was a lot of enthusiasm around it.
That's great.
I partnered with City College of San Francisco, and so we, you know, we weren't trying to reinvent the wheel, and we came up with a certificate program that we got accredited, and students can transfer to either get an associate's degree at City College, mm-hmm. or they can transfer to San Diego State and get a 4-year degree in LGBT studies.
That's great. Fantastic. So, I love that.
So for students who are pursuing a career in health occupations or education or child care or public safety, any of the social services or the hospitality industry,
mm-hmm.
they can come and learn about the LGBT community, get a certificate, and then take that with them into the workplace.
Right. Wow, that's perfect. We need more. We need more of that, especially with people going in the workplace.
The program has 3 core courses in it. There's an introduction to LGBT studies, and then there's the 21st century issues and activism class, and then there's a work experience piece, and then there are some electives that students can choose.
Very cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And you're also very involved with the Matthew Shepard Foundation.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned I met Judy Shepard back in 2000 and actually brought her to Napa Valley College to do a community presentation. And we became friends that weekend. And so I started doing some volunteer work with them and then eventually joined the board. And I've been on the board of directors since.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that's one of those stories that out of tragedy has mm-hmm. come so much good.
Mm-hmm.
Around the work that, I mean, amazing what Judy Shepard has done to keep her son's memory alive and to make sure that her son just didn't die in vain, to get the word out. How that even, like you said, even that helped you. You were able to come out because of that.
You know, she told me, and she talks all the time about Matt always dreamed about changing the world, and it's my belief that Matt's changed the world in ways he could have never imagined.
Absolutely. I'm getting goosebumps while you're saying that, but that is so very, very true. Very true. Well, Greg, we're just out of time. I can't talk. And if people want to find the book, just came out, right, January 1st?
It did. So it's easy. You can Google search it, Coming Out From Behind the Badge, or just go to comingoutfrombehindthebadge.com. And there are links to be able to order from a variety of online sellers.
Perfect, perfect. Well, I wish you best with the book. And what's next?
Retirement.
Retire. Oh, now that's a big step. That's a big one.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping that this takes off and that we'll be doing some training for law enforcement agencies around the country. That would be the. The perfect scenario.
I hope that happens for you. And again, the book is coming out from Behind the Badge, and this is the second edition that just came out January 2016. So we wish you best with the book, and I hope I'll see you guys soon.
Absolutely. We'll see you on the boat.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it. So have a great night, Greg. Again, thanks so much for being with us tonight, and we'll see you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.